Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, the Word of God says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, the Word of God says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." Eye has not seen. Your perception, the eye speaks of perception. It has never entered into your perception. It has never entered into your ears. You have never fellowshipped with the purity and richness of this. Nor has it entered into your heart, into your frame of reference, what God has actually prepared for those that love Him. This is an unknowable thing. We begin to experience it here on earth. As we grow in Christ, we receive more and more of it. But in the natural man, under natural thinking, it is not possible for me to even have an inkling of those things that God has prepared for me if I love Him. Now, why do I love Him? What does that mean for those that love Him? Like, if we think about it, how many people in their heart can really, truly, sincerely say, "I love God," all the time? I mean, time to time I can say, "I love God," but time to time I get a little bit irritated with Him. A little bit of my old sin nature comes out in His direction. Do I really love Him? Well, yeah, I do. I can't say I love Him. You know why? Because in 1 John 4 and verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. So I can't say I love Him by virtue of being the recipient of the love that He has for me. And even though my experience does not always manifest this, my position certainly does before Him. Who I am before Him is a priest and a king. Who you are before Him is a priest and a king. We are seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God in Christ. We are welcomed in heaven. God stands when the believer arrives. So yes, even though I don't have a perfect experience, my position is yes, I do love Him. Because I have received His love. And so we love Him because He first loved us. And we become who we are. And this is our life. We are constantly becoming who we are. My experience starts to align with my position before Him. This happens through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in the believer's life. As He's causing that believer, even though he doesn't know it, despite his weaknesses, his frailties, his insecurities, his failures, whatever it might be, despite those things, he is becoming conformed to the image of his Savior. Peter said, "Lord, shall we forgive them up to seven?" You know why he said seven times? And Jesus said 70 times seven. He said seven times because some of the Pharisees felt very self-righteous if they actually forgave up to three times. And Peter wanted to more than double it. And he said, "No, 70 times seven. Tell me your failure. I'll tell you how God has forgiven you. Don't tell me your failure. Just believe God has forgiven you. And believe that He has cleansed you with the precious blood of the Lamb. Because He has." You see, it doesn't matter that I cannot experience it. It is so anyway, and I will experience it in time. Because God will cause me to grow. "I have not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those that love Him." That's a quote from Isaiah 64, but the apostle changed it a little bit. In Isaiah 64, it says, "Since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither had the eye seen, O God, beside Thee, what He hath prepared for them that waiteth for Him." Do you know what that word "wait" means? It means to have a waiting with an expectation. So I'm waiting on something from God and I am expecting it. I am expecting it to arrive. And now, this is, you know why He changed it to those that love Him? Because it's that love of God that produces that confident expectation with which I wait on God for. And this confident expectation then becomes a huge portion in my life. Because now I have the assurance of things hoped for and the confidence and the realization and the conviction of those things that cannot be seen but are real nevertheless. Like believers sometimes, like, we accept that, but we have a little bit of difficult time figuring that out. How the simplicity of it, I think, sometimes escapes us. I've never been to China, but I believe China exists. Right? I mean, I've met people who say they've seen China. Maybe they're lying. Maybe China's not really there. Maybe they're just trying to sell me something. They're just trying to get me to the first church of the Chinese. Maybe that's what it's all about. I don't believe in China. I've never seen... Hey, you ever see China? Neither have I. You believe it's there? Maybe you're wrong. Maybe the world's flat and there is no China. You see, this is what really faith is. And it's that silly to like step outside of faith. It's that silly. Because God says to, hey, it's here. I've seen it. I've made it. It's here. It's yours. I has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who have a confident expectation and therefore wait on Him because they realize how much He loves them because they are the recipients of His love. Oh, it wasn't your failure. It was His love. It wasn't the fact that you stepped outside for a little while. It was the fact that grace brought you back in. It was the mercy of God. Mercy is the foundation of righteousness, right? The king's throne is established in mercy. Why? Mercy. It's God's mercy that establishes it. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for them that love Him. In Luke 12:27, the Word of God says, consider the lilies how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And Solomon was the greatest king of history. But he was not arrayed as just one of these. Now, why did he say specifically, consider the lilies? Like, he could have considered anything. But why specifically the lilies? Because there is a lot in a lily that you cannot see. A lily generally looks kind of white. Right? There's not a whole lot of color in a lily. Is that right? Lily of the Valley looks like that. But the point is, it's really not that spectacular. But there's a whole lot more to it. There's a whole lot more to it. You see, if you were a bird, you would see a great deal more in the lily. You would see colors that we humans cannot see because you could see beyond the spectrum of human eyesight. And the colors, when they photograph them with special materials and machinery, whereby the colors become visible, they are brilliant and vibrant, and the lily is extraordinarily colorful. But we can't see it. Why can't we see it? Because we walk by sight. But the Word of God says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. You see, I wait upon the Lord because I know He loves me. I have received His love. And I'm growing in that understanding and that experience that He loves me and I am His beloved. And that no fault in me is going to be greater than His mercy toward me. And that where my sin abounds, God's grace does much more abound. And that He's got an endless provision of mercy, and I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And that all things have become new, including wretched little me. And so I can wait upon Him, because now I have a confident expectation from Him that He loves me, and because I have that confident expectation, I know in my heart with an assurance that all things will be as He has said toward me. And I rise up with wings as eagles. And now I can see something I could not see before, because it is not evident to the sight of a man, but it is evident to the faith of a man. See, faith is better sight than sight. And I start being able to see in the details of my life God's hand moving. And the beauty of the plan, and even in the difficult times, the beauty of the difficult times or of the trial or of the test. And even when I fail and I see the beauty of God's hand as He takes me out of my failure because I have fallen into His everlasting arms. I see what it means that He will cause me to stand when I don't stand on my own. I see what it means that His mercy endures forever. Oh, I could not see it before. But they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength and rise up with wings as eagles, and eagles can see what we cannot. The eagle is the only animal in the kingdom that can look directly into the sun. And the bird sees what is in the lily. The bird sees what is in the provision that God has given him. And I am like that bird. And I see the beauty and the majesty and the glory and the splendor of God in my life. Why? I've received His love. Oh, God forbid we fail, but when we fail, His arms will not drop us. Jesus said, I have lost none of those that You have given me. In my failure, I received the mercy of God. And I start to see something. I start to see that He loves me. And that He's kind to me. And that no matter what happens, His tender mercies and loving kindness are always toward me. This is what I do in my failure. Oh, I don't stay in it. You know why? Because I want that tender mercies and I want that loving kindness and I want to grow in those things. And I want to experience the love and the sweetness of God. And so I don't stay there. Right? The wicked man fails and stays down, but the righteous fails and gets up again. You know what? They both fail. But what makes one wicked and one righteous? The one is wicked because he stayed down. The other is righteous because he got up. Why? Because they that wait upon the Lord, they'll see something that God has prepared for him that has not entered into the natural heart of a man. My heart as a man, if I think apart from the Word of God, does not understand what it means to be loved. It does not understand what it means to have mercy. To be the recipient of loving kindness. It does not understand what it means to be cleansed. But then, when God starts showing me His love, and by the way, He will devise a plan in every believer's life to show them how much He loves them. And even though that believer may just go down the road, don't turn to the left or to the right, right? And what do we as believers do? We immediately turn to the left or to the right. And so what does God do? He says, hey, this way, this way. And He brings me to the place of those tender mercies and that loving kindness. It's like Richard Warmbrand, 14 years of torture in communist prisons because he would not deny the Savior. If I have known anyone, if I have ever met anyone, I didn't really know him, but if I have ever met anyone who had a right to be bitter, I would say he would. Or his wife. She spent several years also so hungry that they actually turned to eating grass. But you know what? These people were not bitter. They looked at you and your heart melted because the love of God emanated out of them. You looked at them and you knew that you were in the presence of something special. And was it them? No, it was not them. It was what they have received from the one who loves them. And now the love of God was shed abroad in their hearts. Oh, in that difficulty, in that trial, sometimes, God forbid, for some believers, it will happen in their failure. They turn to the Savior and they realize He is sweet. And that He is faithful to them and that He does love them. They turn to the Savior and they realize they are precious in His eyes. And that He draws them with the cords of a man, the man who died on the cross for them. The one who rose again and now is there, present for them as an ever-present help in time of need. This is what God has prepared for us and then some. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 29, there is no man that had left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, that he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers, 100-fold now. Not later, now. What have you sacrificed for God? To follow Him. You'll receive 100-fold now. That's what the Bible says. God doesn't say, oh, wait till you get to heaven. Live like a pauper now. Wait till you get to heaven. No, God says, I'm going to start your rewards coming now. Why? Because you are a son now. God doesn't say, wait for my provision for you. God doesn't say, wait for my faithfulness. Oh, He may ask me to wait for certain things, like I may have to wait for a spouse or something like that, or to enter into a calling. But while I am waiting for that person, God provides me with the mercy and the capacity in my heart to wait for Him. And He provides me with fellowship of friends in the body of Christ to cause me to grow closer to Him. And He gives me 100-fold now. He gives me no reason to turn to the world, because the world is not a place of any satisfaction for more than a short season. But then that satisfaction becomes very destructive in my life. But the reward that God gives for waiting is, eye has not seen nor ear heard, the things that God has prepared to them that love Him. And in Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What is that power? It's done. He gives exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us. What is that? Well, it's in James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What is patience? Patience is the first characteristic of agape love, God's love. 1 Corinthians 13, right? Love is first patient, and then that patience becomes manifested in an outworking as kindness. So what he's saying here is he's able to give you above and beyond all that you ask or think according to the character that is His character, because God is love. It is His character being produced in us, and according to that very character He's producing in us, He's able to give us exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And what happens? That's called delighting in yourself in the Lord. And we delight ourselves in the Lord, and He gives us the desires of our heart. It's really a pretty simple equation. Grace. And that's it. Grace plus nothing. And there's your equation. It's all grace. And grace is founded on the mercy of God. And it is initiated and energized by the love of God. And so, as we are going through this process, we enter into Romans 8:29, "For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." And so what do I get to see? What is it that I, the natural eye and the natural ear, have not seen or heard, not understood? What is it that has not entered into the heart of a man? The love of God flowing in that man, converting, turning him, transforming him into the likeness of the Savior. And so then it is, as the Apostle said, we are in this world as He is. Right? In this world as He is, so are we. And this is how it works. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength," and they start to see what the natural eye cannot see. And they start to hear what the natural ear cannot hear. The sweet, still, small voice of God speaking to the heart, saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And then I enter into life. Amen.